The deal is this: we are going to learn today not how to run from our trials, but how to run to our trials, because God has a plan in the midst of your pain. In my body of death, I don't sit there and go, yeah, man, this trials I'm going through, this has great value. Bring it. No, I don't see any value through the lens of my flesh, and that's the problem. And therefore, I do not run towards my pain so that the God of my pain might minister to me in my pain. I run away from it, and yes, I'm going to make a statement that's going to make any sense at all, but don't miss this. In the midst of your pain can be some of the greatest blessings of your life.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey there, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. You know, my prayer today is that through God's Word and through this broadcast, that His glory would just simply not rise above us, but more importantly, it would completely overshadow us. You know, when God's glory overshadows me and overshadows you, great things happen for His praise and for His glory. And so if you're discouraged today, I pray that you will no longer be discouraged as we open God's Word. And so let's turn together to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, looking at verses 16 through 18, as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, Do Not Lose Heart. Father, we come before you now, and no matter where we are regarding our circumstances, our trials, our joys, no matter where we are in this life, the reality is that we need you. And so, Father, we just come before you today. We want to run hard after you this morning. We want to run into your presence. Father, we know that as we pursue you this morning, that we can rest assured that you're going to speak into our lives today. So, Father, that's our prayer, that we open your Word, the book, the Bible, that, Lord, we just pray you'd speak. That Word of God, we pray you would speak right now. So, Father, we ask that for order for that to happen in all of our lives, myself at the top of the list, that I need to get out of the way. I need to decrease while you increase. And therefore, we ask that you would move me to the shadows of the cross so that we just see you, that we would taste and see how good you really are, that regardless of what we're going through, you're still good. Matter of fact, regardless of what we're going through, you're still awesome. Now, there's no God like our God. There's no God like the God of the Bible. And so, Father, I pray we would turn our eyes off our circumstances this morning and just cast our vision, our gaze heavenward. And we would truly know, as your Word promises, for those who are in Christ, that since you're for us, who can be against us? So, Father, I pray through this Word today that I pray that the meditation of my heart, that the words of my mouth, all of that would be acceptable to you, my Lord, my Rock, and my Redeemer. So, Father, as you speak now, help us to be a people that's listening, that's craving to not hear a man physically, but to hear from you. So, Father, I just ask that you would speak right now, Word of God. We pray this all in Jesus' name, the name that's above every name, that on that day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Father, we give this to you as our offering. And we pray this in the mighty and the matchless name of the King. King Jesus, do we pray. And all God's people shouted. Amen. 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 Take your Bible. Let's open God's Word together. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians this morning. Chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you do have a pen, a pencil, something to write with, you're going to need it. You're going to need a piece of paper. And I have a lot of scriptures I'm going to read to us out loud. You're going to write them down. You're going to need them this week. Because here's the deal. Whether you know this or not, this life is hard. Amen. Now, this life is difficult. You know, you can't have enough money to buy your way out of trials. You know, we're in these bodies of death. We struggle. Every one of us, myself at the top of the list, I'm a sinful, depraved, wicked man apart from the blood of Jesus. That's the state I am. That's what I bring to the cross. You know, we don't bring a whole lot of good things to the cross. We bring just a lot of sin is what we really bring. And yet Jesus says that's more than enough because I'll take it from you and I'll give you my righteousness. And so my prayer right now as we think through this is just to remember that no matter where we are, the one great equalizer, if you will, no matter where you are on the spectrum, maybe today you're up, maybe you're on the mountain, and praise God, amen. I mean, if you're on the mountain today and life's going well, so to speak, praise God. Rejoice in that. Don't minimize that. Because we all know this, right? We're either coming out of a trial or going into one. We're either on the mountain, we're in the valley. We're somewhere in this process called life. It's just the way it works. So if you're up today, rejoice. But you know what? If you're down today, rejoice. You know, if you're discouraged today, if you don't know how this thing's going to work out, rejoice. And God's Word doesn't say praise Him when you're feeling like it. His Word doesn't say praise Him when you're just on the mountain. His Word says that we are to praise Him continually. And so I want to encourage you today. I pray you'll leave this room today being able to truly say, surely the presence of the Lord was in that place. And you know how that happens? That happens as we open the Word of God and we allow it to speak. Because the Word of God will do all the work we need it to do in our lives. So no matter where you are today, the question is not how to escape the trials, but rather how to deal with your trials. That's our platform, our springboard, our benchmark today is not how can I outrun my trials, not how can I get in front of my trials and just get in front of them enough so that, yeah, they're on my heels, but I'm in front of them and I'm escaping them. No, that's not what we're doing here. The deal is this, we are going to learn today not how to run from our trials, but how to run to our trials because God has a plan in the midst of your pain. So many people, myself included, are tempted to run from the pain. And God's continually teaching me, don't run from the pain, run to the pain. Because I'm the God of your pain. Here's our word this morning from this great text in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Pray you have your Bible open. Got to be looking here just a few verses. I'll give you the context here in a moment. But let's just read together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18. Powerful words here from the Apostle Paul through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Here it is, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, amen? Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now here it is, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are, here it is, temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And all God's people said, man, that's good stuff, isn't it? Now, I don't know where you are today, but again, my prayer right now as I'm talking, I pray that you will leave this place today with a new perspective on what it means to deal with trials in your life. The title of this message simply, and I pray you'd write it down, the title is this, Do Not Lose Heart. See, there's an option in this. There's a choice in this. I know we live in a very blame-shifting culture. Have you noticed this in our American culture today? It's always someone else's fault. Have you picked up on that yet? I mean, it's always someone else's fault, right? Someone else did something, and maybe that's true. I don't want to minimize hurt, pain. I don't want to minimize that maybe you grew up in a home situation that has been horrific, and that's like on a good day. No, this is real. I get that. But at the end of the day, there's a choice on how we're going to react to the pain of life. We just can't continue to blame everyone else when we ourselves are making choices that are putting us in a pit of quicksand deeper and deeper and more each and every day. I love this word from the Apostle Paul. You know, don't you find it kind of interesting that he wrote the majority of the New Testament, and here is a guy who once was a Pharisee. He once was literally helping to execute Christians. And yet because of the saving power of King Jesus, his life was completely transformed in such a way that Jesus began to use Paul in a way that my human brain has trouble just understanding. You have a guy here who should have quit a long time ago in this journey called the Christian life. That when you are beaten and you're shipwrecked and you're constantly stabbed in the back by the people who say they're on your team for Jesus, and this happens over and over, that everywhere you go, you're causing riots. Everywhere you go, you're getting kicked out of these churches. Everywhere you go, there's a rejection to the gospel. Matter of fact, this, he even said this in 1 Corinthians 16:9, "For a great and effective door is open to me, but there are many adversaries." If anyone had any reason to throw in the towel, it would have been Paul. See, this is what's so beautiful about this text. The guy who wrote this wasn't living on easy streets. The guy who wrote this was ingrained in the marrow of his bones. That he was living what it meant to be crucified with Christ. That he was living what it meant to rely on Christ. That he was living what it meant that his grace is more than sufficient. Even as he pleaded three times for the thorn in his flesh to be removed. See, that's important to understand. When the person talking is talking out of their own pain on how to encourage you in your pain, that speaks volumes. This is not hypothetical by Paul. Paul's not even sympathizing. He's way on the empathizing meter, so to speak, isn't he? He's like, I've been here, I get this, I know what you're dealing with. When you say I'm going to be in for Christ, that I'm all in, that yes, man, the family may come against you, that your co-workers may come against you, even your own church folks and friends may come against you when you sell out to Jesus. And Paul's going, I understand this, I get this. Do not lose heart. I just love this text. It just encourages my heart. I pray it does yours as well. So here's the context. He's writing to the church in Corinth, right? We know the church in Corinth was not your model church. They had a lot of issues. They had a lot of sin. And when you read his writings there to the church in Corinth, you see he's dealing with a lot of this over and over. There were a lot of challenges. And we know this. We understand that Satan, he goes where his biggest return on his investment is. If the gospel is being preached at your work, he's going to go there. If it's at your home, it's there. If it's in your church, it's there. He's going to do everything he can to create dissension and discord. He's going to try to get people on their own way and their own personal agenda. And we know how this works. This is not rocket science. And so here Paul is writing this letter. And right there in 4:1, just look at your text for a moment in chapter 4, verse 1. Look what he says there in verse 1. Because we've received this what? This gift of mercy, this ministry of mercy, if you will. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose hearts. Right out of the gate, we're setting the context. Remember, when you study Scripture, when you listen to a preacher or a pastor, you just don't want to pull a verse out of the Scripture because you can miss the hermeneutical context of it. You got to make sure, what is the context? So we start in 1 here of 4, and we see right out of the gate, he's got the table spread out. He's saying, look, we've received this ministry of mercy from the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, because we have this and didn't deserve it, it's been grace to us. It's been charis to us. It's been unmerited favor towards us. Oh man, we do not lose hearts. What a great platform that is, isn't it? The springboard off of.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
So he talks about that, and then it comes down to verse 7 or so. And then it comes into this famous text. You see it on postcards and coffee mugs and what have you. But he says this, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Here it is, verse 10. Always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that this life of Jesus also, here it is, may be manifested in our body. You see the point behind the suffering? Your suffering actually has value. In my body of death, I don't sit there and go, yeah, man, these trials I'm going through, this has great value. Bring it. No, I don't see any value through the lens of my flesh, and that's the problem. And therefore, I do not run towards my pain so that the God of my pain might minister to me in my pain. I run away from it, and yes, I'm going to make a statement that's going to make any sense at all, but don't miss this. In the midst of your pain can be some of the greatest blessings of your life. It makes no logical sense to our flesh, though, does it? I break out a hammer up here at this pulpit and start beating my fingers with a hammer. I can assure you, I'm going to run from this pain. But some of us right now are being beaten by the hammer of life. And the temptation is to run from the refiner's fire. And so many times we give up at door number 6. When if we would have just stayed the course, what may have opened behind door number 7? See, Paul has laid this so beautifully, and there he comes then to this text today, 16, where he repeats again from verse 1, therefore, what's that mean? In light of what was just said, anytime you see therefore, you automatically go up to the context preceding. Therefore, we do not lose heart. My encouragement for you today is no matter where you are, do not lose heart. I don't care where you are, the bad health report, the finances that are in shambles, the marriage on the rocks, the relationship with the grandchildren, whatever it is that is falling apart by the seams in your life, do not lose heart. Press on. Here's what Paul says as we dissect these three verses together. Verse 16, let's look at it together now in our study. Because all throughout Scripture, you think through this, Paul had an unwavering endurance in the faith, didn't he? I mean, if you think of one thing about Paul, you can think of many, but I can think of this immediately. He had a great endurance for the faith. That his gaze, that his missile lock was so focused on the mission that no matter what came to try to derail him, he was going to endure. Well, here it is in 16 again. Therefore, we do not lose heart. What does it mean to lose heart? You think through that right now. Maybe some of you today are sitting here in this room and you're saying, you know what? I am losing heart. Matter of fact, I've already lost heart. What does this mean, though? We got to understand what this means. Well, in the Greek, it means this. To simply be utterly hopeless. You ever been there in your life? You ever been there where you're awake at all hours of the night and the fear is coming in and the doubt and the worry and the fret and you're laying there in bed and you're just saying, God, I am running after you. I'm trying to love you and love people. And why are these things happening to me? I think the question so many times it should not be, why are these things happening to me? But rather, what are you trying to do in me to use me and shape me more for your praise and for your glory? Paul says here, therefore, we do not become utterly hopeless. He's coming right out of this chute, so to speak, saying, this is not an option. He's not kind of laying this out there going, here, you know, here's 1, 2, and 3, pick the one you want. No, he's saying, look, here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to lose heart. Because here's the deal. I know this, and you know this in your flesh, because I know this in my flesh, that because we resist the suffering, because we resist the pain, that any early exit ramp to the call of God that will minimize the pain, we will gladly take that exit regardless of the toll getting off on that exit street. Amen? And that's what always concerns me, is there will be a toll, a price to pay if you step out of God's will when He hasn't told you to do so. Now, there's an equal flip side to that. We know this, that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. You've actually signed up for that. I don't know if you read that in the fine print or not when you signed up for this thing called Christianity. That's part of the deal. But we can and we should rejoice and count it all joy, even in the midst of your greatest pain and your darkest nights. See, he tells us here, therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not become paralyzed by our circumstances. There's not this paralyzation where we're frozen. We don't know what to do or where to go. Here's always a good note to write down. When I don't know where to go and don't know what to do, simply just run to Jesus. You know, so many times, I'm guilty of this, but we think, man, I'm going to go serve Jesus, and man, the Red Sea is going to part. Man, this is going to be easy. Man, we're going to float around on clouds and play harps and sing kumbaya for the rest of eternity. That's utter nonsense. When we get to heaven, man, that's what's going to happen there. Worshiping Jesus 24-7, 365. Matter of fact, there's no time there, so forget the 24-7, 365. It's just we're going to worship Him for eternity. No end. But man, while we're here, man, we should be on mission. We should not be a jar. Man, we need to be a pitcher. That as Jesus Christ flows in us, oh, He doesn't want to just stay there and get bottled up. No, He wants to flow out of us. That people might see you and me and go, oh man, I want in on that. Man, that's the hope of glory. I don't know what's gotten into you, but you're not the same person you used to be. I want to be like you. And that's where you go, you don't want to be like me. You want to be like the one who lives inside of me, and His name is Jesus. But man, that's hard, isn't it, man, when you're suffering. That's hard. That's really hard. Because I know this, when I'm suffering, I'm not thinking about anyone else except me. And the whole point of suffering is that I would think of everyone else but me. See, this is so critical as we think through this. Remember the Apostle Paul writing, and he says we do not lose heart. We do not become paralyzed. And so what does he say next? I love this. He really gives kind of the extent here of how far we take this thing. I mean, have you ever thought about that in your own mind before? It's kind of like, yeah, I know I need to go love Jesus, I need to go make disciples, but how far do I need to take this thing? Well, you take it as far as He leads you. And God wants people to come to know Him through His Son, Jesus. He says this, Paul does in this verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Here it is, listen closely. Even though our outward man is perishing. In the Greek, that simply means this, that literally being corrupted, ruined, or destroyed. I want us to get a visual this morning. He's told us not to lose heart, do not become utterly hopeless, do not become utterly paralyzed by your circumstances. Even though your outward, this physical body, is perishing. Now again, you've got to have context king here. Think through what Paul has endured. I mentioned some of this already. Here Paul is, Pharisee at one point, executioner of Christians, radically saved, Acts 9, Damascus Road, just a true conversion. That was not a false conversion, amen? This thing was done, right? And Paul was never the same again. I mean, it was real. And what happened in that, though, is that Jesus even warned him as he encountered him on that Damascus road, "You are a chosen vessel of mine to suffer for my sake." Now, I said that for a reason, two reasons. Number one, it's biblical. But number two, I want to set this up. Here, Paul is saying, you got to remember who's writing. It's Paul. The outward man is perishing. Not only is this referring to Paul getting older, but we got to remember what he's endured. Man, when you're whipped and beaten, man, your body's going to perish. When you are undermined by your quote-unquote friends for selling out to this gospel, that's going to take a toll on you physically. This outward is perishing. It's being destroyed. But then he makes another statement that counters the first statement. Even though our outward man is utterly perishing, is being destroyed, is being ruined or corrupted, yet the inward man, here it is, and this is a praise God part of this verse, yet the inward man or woman is being, here it is, renewed. Not just renewed, period, but renewed day by day. Isn't that awesome? You know what that means? Renewed is this. To literally infuse life back into and therefore create a maturing, growing process. Kind of sounds like sanctification, doesn't it?
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.